Gracious God, how often do you speak to us, and how often do we miss it? How often do you whisper blessings over us that we refuse to hear? Open our hearts and our ears to your songs of justice. Create space in us to not only hear these words, but to believe the good news. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 10. Listen for the word of the Lord. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be open. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For the waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our scripture today is a familiar one. It's commonly rolled out at Christmas time in the music of the Magnificat. These words from the Virgin Mary come from Hannah's song, or maybe from Psalm 113. In times of heightened emotion, we sing. Listen for Mary's song as she was greeted by Elizabeth, who was also pregnant. Let's listen to the living word from Luke 1, 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowly state of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Indeed, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has come to the aid of his children, of his child Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Stir us this day and speak to our hearts the words that you would have us hear. Amen. I hung out a bit recently in the narthex with Santa and Mrs. Claus. It was fun. One preschool class was a little bit more nervous about this weirdly attired visitor, until the teacher said, "Hey, gang, what was that song that we were just learning?" And then the refrains from "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" broke out into the room, and the smiles came out and the nerves evaporated. Our song carries us through in a world that is changing, bringing us joy, chasing away fear, and even serving as a tool of resistance. Working for compassion and following Christ as the champion of the weak and the marginalized can be hard work. It can also be joy. I've said it before, and I'm going to repeat it again today. The Advent readings are a bit weird. We started with Isaiah, and then we moved to John the Baptist, and they both were calling us to repent, warning us, but then also pointing to the Messiah. The Messiah is coming, and all things are going to be better. And our theme of what can't wait this season, it's about time to turn the bus. Hope and peace for sure can't wait, and we are called to transforming that world, yet finally, joy. The Westminster Catechism that many of us are familiar with, and in my opinion, the most important question from there, what is the chief end of man? Does anybody know? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There's the joy. So I asked the worship team, mainly Angie, to help me make an adjustment to our Advent wreath this year. Y'all notice what's different? It's pink. So there's a lot of things on the Advent wreath, and that one's different on purpose for joy. So you've got a round circle, and that's the eternal love of God. And then you've got evergreen, because that's enduring life, so you usually have the greenery around. And then we've got the purple, which is the main sign. Purple is the royalty of Christ, and it's kind of a mini Lent, so it's the Advent. It's the season of thinking and meditating on Christ is coming, making ourselves ready for Jesus. And then we get to the third Sunday. It is called Gaudete Candle, which is the Latin for rejoice. Or sometimes it's called the shepherd candle because the shepherds rejoiced when they saw the star in the night and heard that news. In the middle candle, we've got the Christ candle. We'll light that one on Christmas Eve to celebrate Christ in our world. So we're not there yet. The pink is important. The pink is the joy breaking in. It is the light coming into our world. It's dawning and coming, letting us know that the wait is almost over. Christ is coming. It's a paradox. It looks different. It's almost there, but not yet. But that light is coming into our broken world. The kingdom of heaven has begun on earth. So that's your brief lesson on why it's pink. And the scripture today is a joyful song. It's Magnificat. The song is about the Jubilee, which is the year of transforming and turning everything upside down. And that's the transformation that Mary bears with Jesus coming. She cries out with joy. And I look to her words. We're going to sing it after the sermon today, the Canticle of Turning. It's an Irish folk version of these same words. So when we get to that, listen to those words. Let them soak in and see what they say to you as we sing them in joy together. These are from Mary's heart. They're her words of wonder, her words of faith, and proclamation. And they're also words of radical, revolutionary change, a breaking in of a love that cannot wait. So we sing of wondrous things to those who have been waiting. We praise God that our plight is seen, and that even when we are weak, God blesses us. Is the world about to change? We picture Mary as a calm young girl with her eyes downcast. Are we really seeing her for the radical woman that she was? She's an invisible, or at least re-choreographed person. She's a woman whose song carries across the wind and the ages, and it resonates in our very bones. Mary's song. It wasn't one of peace at all. The song shouts for the invisible and the unseen of the world in its beautiful notes, and it's sung in all kinds of different arrangements. but it's also grungy, edgy, and powerful, pushing us, masking the world to see. Mary of our manger scenes, she's kneeling, she might have her hands folded, and she's just been through hard labor. Is that real, y'all? She's a woman who probably walked barefoot across the country on the roads that were dirty. We like to picture her on a donkey, but a poor maiden likely wouldn't have been able to afford a donkey. We've rewritten her to be calm and demure and a little bit quiet and almost a background kind of figure. Mother Mary, gentle and mild, trusting, obedient, and weirdly enough, we see her as silent. Maybe this holds if we only listen to those first parts. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. But this unwed, pregnant, poor teen girl doesn't stop there. She's not done. This is the start of a transformation breaking into the world. The upheaval that Jesus brings to the demands of the world. See, she says, behold, the words of this song. This is the longest quote of a female in the New Testament. And the words are a demand for justice. That's not very demure. She's settled, and she's unseen on the sidelines. But this is really a demand. German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed by the Nazis, called the Magnificat the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. And then the Washington Post tells us that Argentina, Guatemala, and India have banned the Magnificat from being recited in public. Those are some dangerous words. Far from merely serving as a silent, pretty womb, Mary is a radical who is fighting for justice in a song that is one of the eight oldest of Christianity. Scatter the proud, bring down the rulers, and lift up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Sounds like Mary trusts the Lord, and she doesn't fear speaking truth to power. Blessed indeed. So why is that so at odds with some of our visions of Mary in the Christmas season? How did we get so out of sync in our nativities and our stories and our images of Mary? The world does not expect a revolution from a young teen mother, from a song, from people in inflatable frog costumes. The world is about to turn with the birth of Jesus, bringing joy to the overlooked, to the downtrodden, much like those at the fall of the Berlin Wall. The protests when the wall fell, right before that, began with a simple song in a sanctuary. But they didn't follow the route and the expectations of the people who were enforcing the status quo. Instead, it began within the walls of the sanctuary with candles, and it grew and it spread outside those walls until that dividing wall toppled down. It's rumored when asked why he didn't put down this protest like planned, he had all the guards and they had their batons and they were ready to deal with the protest. One chief police officer said, "We didn't have a contingency plan for a song." As people who are among the richest in the world, the Magnificat calls us to not just joy, but it calls us to action of the same. Jesus turned the world upside down with his preferences for the outcast and the poor. Mary proclaims the same. From a position of our comfort and our power, this is challenging and revolutionary to us, too. We love the gorgeous renditions by Bach and the choirs around the world, but we struggle with a blessing that also makes us see the world. It blesses the unseen and the invisible person and calls out us. This ridiculous and unexpected, that's the place where Jesus would probably have shown up. That's where Jesus would have been bringing joy on the edges, on the fringes. A revolutionary, honest joy that proclaimed justice and mercy for all. So we love this slightly ridiculous pink candle that breaks into our nice, pretty purple. And this special song of turning with its promise that the world is about to turn. Why is that? Because we are part of the song, and that is the only way. A song across the ages, calling to you and to me from the sidelines. Mary is revered by the Catholic Church, you may say. Who is she to us? Who is she indeed? A poor girl, lonely on the roadside, easy to ignore when she visits with her elderly relative. Do we listen to these people? What do they have to say to us? They truly can teach us about joy. They are a part of the song. Advent and Christmas songs are among the most powerful that we sing. They're dear to our hearts, and they're such an important part of this season. So pull out the funky Christmas sweaters. Pull out the jewelry and the headbands and all the bling. And be your unabashed selves, the beloved you, and sing in joy. Our songs carry the story out to the world. They take the joy, but they also bring comfort, and they call to revolutionary action. All of that wrapped up in song. We are more powerful when we sing together. The world doesn't have a contingency plan for Jesus breaking in. No plan can conquer that joy, the joy that will not wait. Christ's light is truly breaking in. Sing on. Amen.